We are paralleling Tim Keller's book on navigating life that's helping us with devotionals, daily devotionals, through the book of Proverbs. And we're in the section, knowing the times and the seasons, and in particular, guidance, planning, and decision making. So tonight, we're going to talk briefly about godly decision making. Godly decision making. Just some simple realities about how we make decisions if we're listening to God and following His lead. So, first thing we learn from the Proverbs, and I'm going to give you all five of them now, and then we'll go through the verses that teach these things. Number one, recognize that God rules supreme over what happens in your life. I know the drawing straws is not the way we decide everything. But it's really important before you worry yourself to death about whether you're going to make the right decision, that you go in understanding that the destiny of your life does not depend on you. That God rules supreme over what happens in your life. And guess what? He directs even people who make mistakes. That's the only kind of people He has to work with, right? So one of the things we don't want to do is to adopt this very fretful approach to decision making that's not, first of all, resting in the sovereignty of God, that He will rule our lives. Number two, prioritize good character. Peaches grow off of peach trees. Work on who you are. I mean, this is something, and we'll get to it more. Now I'm thinking about it in case I don't think about it later. You know, as you think about, if you're not married yet and you would like to be, and you're worried you're not going to find the right one, the first thing you need to worry about is that you are the right one. That you're the kind of person that the person you'd like to marry, the kind of person you'd like to marry, would marry, right? So make sure your own character, your own walk with God, you're the kind of person that a good person would want to marry. Prioritize good character, and then out of that, you'll make much better decisions. Number three, exercise diligence and planning. Study your Excel workbook. Don't try to take shortcuts. Do the necessary labor to make good decisions. Number four, part of that is really to seek wise advice. Don't be wise in your own eyes. A person that already knows isn't going to learn anything more, except the hard way. And seek wise advice, and you'll be well served. You'll be able to benefit from years of experience of other people and from the gift sets of other people in making far better decisions. And number five, ultimately, submit whatever you do to the Lord. If you're viewing your life as serving God rather than serving self, an act of worship, then the things that your heart desires as God works in your heart are typically the things that God wants you to do. In fact, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask when I'm talking to somebody trying to decide, well, tell me about your heart. Tell me about your heart's desire. What are you drawn to? What do you like to do? That's not a question in a vacuum. That's a question to somebody who actually loves the Lord and wants to do the Lord's will. Okay, so how is He working in your life? What kind of opportunities He's giving you? Because that'll be a clue as to what God wants you to do. So these five things, and let's look at the verses that go along with those. Number one, recognize that God rules supreme over what happens in your life. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. In the Old Testament, we saw this even last week, I believe, that when they weren't sure how to make a decision, they weren't sure what the Lord actually wanted, they would actually cast lots. And it's possible that this is like different lengths of sticks thrown into the lap, so kind of like drawing straws. And this is the way they made temple appointments. This is the way they made other kinds of decisions. This is the way they allotted land in the promised land. They allotted land by casting lots. And their allotment was their inheritance, okay? And this is the way God indicated. There's no other basis on which to make the decision, and so they looked to the Lord to do it, understanding that God rules supreme, even over the seeming, you know, happen chance kinds of things. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So it's appropriate for us to plan. But remember, James says we should make our plans about what we're going to do and say, you know, if the Lord wills, we will go to such and such a city and we will sell and get gain, etc. There's nothing wrong with the planning, but we always keep it under the rule of God, because we know I don't want my life to be the chronicle of my plans. I want to reach the end of my life and say, this is unbelievable. I thought I was going to do this, and God changed my course, and this is what he did. This is God's story in my life. That's going to be way more interesting than the story I would have written. And it's actually a really cool way to live, to be seeking the Lord and let him direct your path, recognizing that he is supreme. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Because of the work that I do, a lot of the work that I do has to do with talking. What am I going to say to so-and-so? What am I going to counsel them? How am I going to explain this? And how will I solve the problems that come up? And maybe I'm letting you know a little bit. Sometimes I'm really, really nervous. In fact, I'll sit at the beginning of a counseling session and I'm listening and I'm going, what in the world am I going to say? But I found, you know, that God is faithful in these things and that God does direct, and you have plans that you make, but God, as you yield yourself to God, that he actually puts words in your mouth. He leads you to think the right thoughts and to say the right things. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of a man plans his way, the Lord establishes his steps. So just like what you say, even where you walk, God will direct you. And we, you know, anybody that's known the Lord for any length of time, you can all testify that you've gone places and done things, ended up where you never expected to end up. There's any number of you sitting here tonight that never expected that you'd be in Greenville and never expected you'd be at Hampton Park. And I'm one of them, okay? So that's a huge blessing that God is ruling sovereign. Proverbs 20, verse 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Have you ever, when you think about all the possibilities, and I think especially when we reach decision points or transition points, when we lose a job, when we're transitioning from high school to college, from college into grad school career, we're at certain points where we feel like we're ready to step off a cliff. We don't know which way to go. We don't know what God is going to do. And the reality is that there's so many possibilities. We can't see the future. That there's so much that we know we don't understand, even with what we do understand, that there's no way for us to have a foolproof understanding of what we're supposed to do. I remember when I finished up PhD work, and it actually, as I went through comprehensive exams, I don't know if I ever felt dumber in my life. And it dawned on me that, okay, even in my field, in the narrow slice of my field that I studied, there's a whole lot I still don't know. And that's only in my field, let alone all the other things that I might need to know about. The reality is, you can be the smartest person in the world, and there's still a whole lot that you're ignorant about. And so we really do need the Lord to direct our steps. Tim Keller makes this comment on August 12th. The plans of the heart belong to us. They are our responsibility. The way God controls history does not force us to act, yet all we do, every one of our steps, is part of his plan. This seeming paradox, while impossible to completely fathom, completely understand, is supremely practical. It gives you enormous incentives to take personal initiative. Poor choices will create pain and trouble. We learn that from Proverbs, right? And yet, if you do fail, remember that you can't truly mess up your life. God will weave even your failings into his plan for you. And that creates a little, you know, the brain cells are kind of like, whoa, how can that happen? It does. It does all the time. Proverbs 20:24 adds that, therefore, we should not worry about the fact, as others do, that we can't control our future. It is in God's hands. Look, if God's controlling the future, why would you want to? It's like, hey, you drive. You know where we're going. Let God take care of that. So number two, prioritize good character. What you do must flow from who you are. Good fruit comes from a good tree. So work on who you are before God before you decide whatever you're going to do. When you look at the scripture and as to what the will of God is, you know, people, they fret over what is the will of God for me. And usually they mean, what job should I do? You know, where should I live? A variety of decisions like that. When you look at the will of God, as God talks about it in the scriptures, most of the time when he talks about his will, it has to do with who you are, with your character, with your moral fiber, with your wisdom. Has far more to do with that than whether you live in Kentucky or Michigan or South Carolina or Timbuktu. Who you are is really the display of God's miraculous transforming work, right? This world's not our home. We're passing through. Wherever you live, whomever you marry, whatever job you have, Your relationship to God, your walk before him is the most important thing. And what you do, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or a street sweeper, the mission is still the same, right? We have people from all kinds of walks of life in our church, and yet there's a common will from God for us as to how we treat each other and what kind of character we're supposed to have, the fruit of the Spirit kind of character. So Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. They make bad decisions because they're bad people. The crookedness in their own heart distorts their view. Ever talk to somebody who's just unrepentant in sin? It's like they go crazy. It's like they can't think rationally sometimes. Whereas when I'm right with God, then I start to think straight. Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Now that makes sense, right? If my heart is right with God, where I'm willingly conforming myself to his standards of right and wrong, then making decisions that are in line with that is kind of a no-brainer. I mean, that's going to flow from that. If I'm doing what's wicked, particularly if I'm doing what I know is wrong, why should God guide me to do the right thing when I'm not even doing what I already know to do? So I want to make sure that my thoughts are in line with God's will, and then I know God will help me think the right way. Proverbs 14:22, do they not go astray who devise evil? Figuring out how they can sin, how they can do wrong. Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, God emphasizes that steadfast love a lot, and God is completely reliable. And you give yourself. I mean, think about it this way. When you're making your plans, and maybe you're struggling with thought life, or you're struggling with thinking the wrong kinds of thoughts, well, start devising good things. Start thinking about, instead of how people have hurt you or how mad you are at them, or thinking about how you can fulfill some desire that's not right, why don't you think about how you can fulfill some desire that is right? Instead of thinking about how someone has hurt you, why don't you think about how you can help somebody? Start redirecting the counsels of your heart, and what you find are the blessings of steadfast love and faithfulness. Keller puts it this way: the more we know God, ourselves, the human heart, the order of creation, the times and seasons, the more we will have the wisdom to make good decisions. Modern people want a technique for guidance, 5 steps to good decisions. Sorry, I have 5 points. I just thought about that. God offers wise character, hard won over a lifetime. So be more concerned about your character. Prioritize good character. Number 3, exercise diligence and planning. If you neglect your homework, don't expect God to bail you out on your grades. Why should he have to perform a miracle to rescue you from your sin of laziness? Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. What is he saying? Well, you know, there's all kinds of people that are trying to do the get-rich-quick thing. Get successful quick. Usually those are illegal. And usually they don't work. Most people that are truly successful are successful because they make good decisions over the long haul. They are faithful in learning what they need to learn and doing the work that they need to do. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. Everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. So instead of cutting straight to the comfort side, take care of what's going to provide you the means so that you can build your house. This is one of the things that's challenging for us, especially when we're younger. As we've grown up in our homes, not everybody, but particularly in our culture, a lot of times we've enjoyed a lot of good things that took our parents years to accumulate and to set up. And so we get married, we go out on our own, and we expect to live that way instantly. And that's not the way that it works typically. Just be faithful on the daily things. Be diligent. Do your homework and let God reward that. You'll make much better decisions rather than jumping at every chance to get rich quick. Number 4, seek wise advice. Seek wise advice. A person who won't listen to anyone else is going to make foolish mistakes common to those who are wise in their own eyes. Now, just step back for a moment. We've talked about this before, but step back for a moment and think about those in the world that carry the most responsibility and even have the most power. In other words, they have the executive power to declare something, to say, to make a decree and say, this has to happen. Now think through history. As a rule, what do you find characteristic about people who have that level of responsibility? Well, they're surrounded by advisors. Because one person can't possibly know enough to make important decision after important decision without getting counsel, without getting advice. And so you have a cabinet, you have advisors, you have those that are doing the homework so that you can make good decisions. Your senators or congressmen, they're going to have staffers that do the legwork and do the homework and that give you the information that you need so you can make a good decision. And the same is true of all of life. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Don't just find one person that agrees with you. You know, sometimes abundance of counselors and know people that they've already made their decision. The only reason they're talking to anybody about it is they're trying to get someone else to agree with them so that can confirm what they already want to do. And when they don't hear what they want to hear from the first person, they go to the second person. If they don't hear what they want to hear from them, they go to the third person. They keep going until somebody agrees with them. I mean, this happens enough that actually this is one reason that among the pastors, we don't get into details of what's going on, but we do let people, we let the other guys know if we're counseling somebody, because we were finding that people would jump from one person to the other, and like we're all counseling the same person, and the person didn't, you know, said no to the first counsel, so they went the second, said the same thing, went to the, so we want to be people that listen to counselors. Proverbs 20, verse 18, plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance wage war. Or Proverbs 24, 5 and 6, a wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might, for by wise guidance you can wage your war. In an abundance of counselors, there is victory. One of the huge blessings of being part of the ministry here is when we're making pastoral decisions is to have like 18 guys of various ages bringing their strengths to the table with mutual humility and love for one another, and to talk that we're able to talk through some of the thorniest of issues and work through that for better decisions than any one of us ever could have done. And it's just a huge blessing. And I'm learning in my life, in multiple areas of my life, how much I benefit from interacting, tapping into the wisdom of other people. You know, even the things that we preach, you know, you could read commentaries, that's tapping into somebody's wisdom, but you can also talk to people who also know the Lord and know the Word. And so we tap into the resources available to us so that we make wise decisions. Number five, submit whatever you do to the Lord. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So what you're doing is even before you're making your planning, you're saying, God, this is for you. I'm doing this for you. So guide me even in the planning stage. Why plan it all and then ask God to bless it? Commit your work to the Lord. It's a high privilege to serve God. I mean, who could you serve? What administration could you serve in that is greater than the administration of the universal King, the Ancient of Days? It's a high privilege to serve him. And doing what you do for the Lord inherently increases the value of whatever you do. It becomes an act of worship. And it also serves to purge decisions from your life that would be displeasing to him. There's a lot of things that we just decide not to do if we've already decided we're serving God, that this is for God. And you know, if I can avoid wasting my life on what I shouldn't do, I have more time. I have more life to do what I should. So let's take those five things and just draw some application. Number one, recognize that God rules supreme over what happens in your life. So you need to rest in that. Trust him and stop fretting. And so, are you willing to rest in the reality that God has this under control? And how does that shape then how you approach the difficult decisions that you've got to make? Number two, prioritize good character. What are you doing to make cultivating good character a high priority in your life? What kinds of things actually do shape character, and what are you doing to shape yours? Number three, exercise diligence in planning. What are you doing to educate yourself and prepare so that you do make informed decisions? So you're not making wild decisions that are off the mark. Number four, seek wise advice. Who are your trusted advisors? What are their names? And are you regularly talking to them? So I'm not sure I trust anybody. Then you need to build some stronger relationships with people, right? So that you have people that you trust, who know you, who know your life, who know your strengths and weaknesses, know your heartbeat, that you can share with and that can give you wise counsel. Number five, submit whatever you do to the Lord. How does your attitude and strategy reflect that ultimately your main goal is to glorify God? Very practical help for godly decision making. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for how much guidance you do give us. And while there are times when we are perplexed and we're really not sure what to do, we are grateful for how often you show us what to do. And even what you work in our lives while we are in kind of a holding pattern trying to figure it out. Help us walk with you. Help us be more concerned about our character than about the particular job we're working on. And God, ultimately, may you receive the praise for how we live our lives. For we want to live them according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.